Linda, 20, light hair, blue eyes, identifying marks, large bruise on upper left thigh. Nancy, 22, 5 feet 5, strangle marks on throat. Angie, mid-20s, keeps repeating details of assault. Teresa has suddenly developed a fear of men. Karen refuses to discuss the attack. All these women have one thing in common. They were violated.
Don't be afraid to fight dirty. Anything goes.
What's going on?
Let the revenge fit the crime.
If we stick together, we can get him. I know it.
There they go, my five lovelies.
This guy is a maniac and this guy is a killer. And you could easily wind up with your friend.
Hey, gang. I don't think we're strong enough to handle this alone. Maybe we should turn it over to the police.
All right, welcome to Mysterious Streams, your number one podcast for everything strange, bizarre, weird, magical, fascinating, and interesting on Netflix and various other movie streaming services, but primarily Netflix. I am your host, the Mime Killer, Nicholas Peterson.
And I am Mary Peterson.
Also known as...
Sexy Senorita, or Geeky Senorita.
Oh,
sorry, that's
man.
In my own head.
conceited much. Wow.
After watching this movie, I think I should be.
All right, I'm renaming myself. I'm now the Sexy Mime Killer.
Okay.
If we can just nickname ourselves like that.
Okay.
You can find our podcast at our home website at thecriticsword.com. You can also find us on iTunes. Please review us favorably on there. You can also...
subscribe as well.
Yeah, you can also find us at podmatic.com. So, the movie... we're going to do a double feature today. We're going to start introducing newer films, brief discussions of new films that we might have seen before we get into our cult classic. Or, in this case, just cult. Or classic.
I wouldn't go that far.
It's a film. It's probably neither.
It's a film that's on Netflix that probably nobody has heard of. That's
anyway.
That's about the best I can say about it.
Yeah, that's fair. So before we talk about our feature presentation, we're going to briefly talk about The Purge. The movie opened up...
this weekend, actually.
This weekend, or if you're listening to it at any point, 2013. the movie is about Ethan Hawke and a family living in... fairly upper-class suburbia, and there's takes place in the recent future, 10 years from now, the early 2020s, and The Purge is about a event that happens once a year.
Where everybody just goes batshit insane.
All crime is legal for one night, with a couple of caveats. You can't use class 10 weapons, which I assume is like nuclear bombs,
mm-hmm.
and you can't attack... like the president.
You can't attack government officials. You can't,
well, certain government officials.
Certain government officials. And you can't attack level 10 military
and the purpose
personnel,
of the,
whatever the hell that means.
The purpose of the purge is to get rid of all the violent... it's basically a way to do a home invasion storyline without dealing with the cops.
Basically.
And that's what this movie does. Ethan Hawke and his family are holed up in their house, and just through a variety of circumstances... their safe home gets invaded by outsiders, out from outsiders and from within, and it's okay.
Not as clever as I thought it was going to be.
It's an okay movie that wears its themes very much on its sleeve. It's definitely going for a haves versus haves not. In fact, one of the characters in the movie says, "I only attack the have-nots."
And another character even said... I think on one of their various radio programs, like, oh, the poor are going to be the victim tonight.
Yeah, so it definitely talks down to the audience. It doesn't really trust the audience to make these connections for themselves. Instead, just kind of forcing it down your throat. If you excuse the term, forced down your throat.
Given the movie that we're going to be reviewing.
Given the rest of the other movie we're going to be talking about. But overall, it was an okay movie.
It was decent. It was quick, which I liked. I hate when a movie... talks down to you and feels like it drags on for like 2 days.
It was very fastly paced. It actually comes in at 88 minutes, so not even an hour and a half. But the kills were very bland. Just people get shot, they die. I thought they would take advantage of the fact that they're fighting in a house, you know, use all these improvised weapons.
Especially since it seemed to me like it was implied that the son in the movie had various hidey holes in the house.
Yeah, the son is very technologically adept. He creates like a little
creepy doll on wheels.
A remote control doll on wheels that has like a little. He's wearing something that looks like what Google Glasses are
trying to be now.
And he can control it with that. But it's decent, you know. It definitely, if you're saving your movie money, I would definitely say wait for Superman. I bet Superman's going to be a much better film. I think it's going to be a much better film. if you have to see...
It's going to be a much better film because we watch these movies. That's the best that I can say about Superman.
Well, it's not that scary. That's the other thing about The Purge.
It was... It startled me. It was advertised as... a horror-esque, I guess, kind of movie. It's supposed to be a scary movie, and it really wasn't. The premise was interesting. It was a cool idea. Ethan Hawke, as always, is absolutely amazing in this movie. I don't think I've seen a movie with Ethan Hawke where I haven't liked his acting.
Yeah, Ethan Hawke, he does some genre films every now and then. He definitely brings some good acting chops to these kinds of movies and kind of elevates them.
Heedley, or however you say her name, Cersei from Game of Thrones, of course, was pretty awesome.
Yeah, so you got some nerd love with her, and it's all right. Bottom line, it's an okay movie. I heard the ending was this outrageous thing from another reviewer, but
it wasn't that great.
I didn't find the ending that shocking. In fact, the ending was fairly predictable if you even pay the remote. Even the least bit of attention.
Which I didn't, because I was on my phone most of the time.
And the movie had a little bit of a... I won't go into it too much for a spoiler sake, but I will say like a slightly political correct tinge, which is able to be used to predict characters' motivations and what they will do. There's nothing really edgy or interesting about this movie, which is the biggest... crime, really, because it's a very interesting premise.
We came up with better endings while we were watching this movie. Yeah. Our predictions were so much better than
what yeah, me and my wife. There was about three people in the movie theaters, and they're all kids. So we felt a...
Superior.
I didn't feel superior.
I did.
But I did feel like we can just kind of quietly chat a little bit more than usual. We're not monsters that text and chat during movies, but the theater had barely anyone in it, so... So overall, I think we agree on this. It was okay.
Yeah, it was decent.
It was all right. So that moves on to our feature film presentation. This movie we'll be talking. The movie we'll be talking about today is Active Vengeance,
aka Rape Squad,
aka Rape Squad. It's a 1974 exploitation film that came out in America. I was going to say the date again, then I realized how dumb that sounded, but.
Yeah, but said that.
It's a pretty fun film. It
pandered so much.
Well, let's talk about the movie before we get into our thoughts on it. So, the movie opens with poor Linda getting raped by a guy in a hockey mask who kind of looks like a cross between Michael Myers. He has the Michael Myers jumpsuit on,
even though it is orange.
Yeah, orange.
I feel like if you were going to rape somebody. Don't wear something that draws that much attention.
That could be true. I maybe you think about this more than I do. But he also has a hockey mask on, so a little bit of Jason Voorhees in there.
Ooh.
So he rapes Linda. Not only does he rape his victims, which is bad enough, but he makes them sing Jingle Bells while he does it. Did you have something to say about that? You looked...
No. I just think it's kind of funny. It adds a little bit of humor to the rape.
Alright, so poor Linda gets raped, and she has to sing Jingle Bells.
And she has to tell him, thank you, Mr. Rapist, for choosing me.
Yeah, the guy has a very interesting pathos, where he forces the women to congratulate him or thank him for the act he's providing. So Linda goes to the cops, and the cops are men, and they're all awful.
Yep, every man in this movie is pretty much an asshole.
I was hoping for at least one man to do something redeeming by the end of this movie.
I think they kind of tried to do that because I think maybe halfway through the movie they realized that these men are assholes. But we'll wait till you get to that point in the plot before I say.
I'm curious because I don't remember this. I don't remember any.
At one point in the movie,
we'll get there.
No, I want to tell
you. All right.
No, go ahead.
All right. We'll get there.
We'll don't want to confuse we'll people. We'll get
it. So poor Linda's raped. She goes to the cops. The cops are dicks. They keep, mm-hmm. they crack jokes. They crack wise. She gets upset.
One officer, literally, as he's walking past her, says, "Oh, man, I wish that had happened to me. If it did, I'd just sit back and enjoy it."
So, that's going on. They claim that they can't find no sperm, so...
Ergo, she didn't get raped.
Yeah, I guess that's all it takes.
I mean, they try to BS it through, well, if there's no sperm, then we have no evidence. Which basically means, the guy didn't ejaculate in you, you didn't get raped.
Yeah, these cops...
We didn't do a very good job.
Yeah, there you go. And so Linda's despondent, but then our Jingle Bells rapist rapes again.
I think despondent would be the term. I think
she's depressed.
She's depressed, but she's more angry than anything else.
And her boyfriend's a dick, too. Her boyfriend keeps on kind of suggesting that she deserved it for what
he literally says, what did he say? Something about a little hand grabby, and then he got too rough with her.
Hmm. So the boyfriend's a dick, the cops are a dick, and then another woman is raped by the Jingle Bells rapist.
He seemed to be a little bit more tender with this one than he was with Linda.
Linda got the short end of the stick. But this, and I thought we were going to have to see all these women get raped. I was prepared. There's five women in the rape squad. I thought we were going to see all of them get raped. I was like, oh my God, it's just this is going to be tedious. But
they don't, thankfully.
But they do meet up with three other women who were raped by the same rapist at the police station.
Where the police gather them to try to put them through a lineup to identify the man who raped them, which I think is absolutely silly because the man was wearing a hockey mask.
Well, they make him read the lines that...
True. And the cop tells him that, you know, they did it this way to kind of show them how difficult their job is. And how, because the only way that these women can identify their rapist is by his voice, and, you know, anybody can disguise their voice. So it's just driving the point home of, these are women who have been raped, and no male in this movie is going to do anything to help them.
Yeah, all the men in this plant in this movie are jerks, and they have nothing for them. So these women create something that they themselves call a rape squad, which is primarily focused on hunting down the Jingle Bells rapist, but they kind of expand the group to just be a pain in the ass about anyone who bugs them.
They literally have a chick in a very form-fitting skirt.
Well, we'll look into that. We'll get to that.
Kind of not know, because after they form the rape squad, they enlist other women to hand out flyers around town to kind of get the word out, which is fine, but this movie does what I hate, where they put these women in the situations and in these outfits that, like, oh, I'm a woman, look at my sexuality, but don't rape me because I don't want it.
Wow, you're like the men in the movie.
I am, because I hate movies that do this. It's trying to drive home a point, which is actually true, but it does it in the most chauvinistic asshole way of doing it. I hate that. So, to circle around to my earlier point, while this young lady is handing out flyers, two men on their lunch break start to hassle her a little bit, like, oh, you know, look at that ass, those legs, that's awesome. She hands them the flyer for the rape squad, and kind of explains it to them. And they, of course, because they're men in this movie, make really awful jokes about being raped, saying how they're both rapists and whatnot. So when she tells them that she herself was raped, they try to make amends and be like, oh, lady, we're sorry, we didn't know. So this movie tries to have maybe two men.
You're
that
right.
Kind of,
I forgot they tried, but they made the mistake of apologizing and laying a hand on her, which was a big no-no.
Exactly.
So she yells at them. They get their rape group together, they find another lady who knows Kung Fu really well, and she agrees to teach them a couple moves.
I hated that scene as well.
Why?
Because the scene where she's teaching them her Kung Fu moves, one woman is visibly upset with having to do this. She doesn't really want to do it. She's not a very violent person. So the karate teacher literally tells them, why don't you come back when you have a better opinion of yourself? Because she has issues with trying to fight off an attacker.
So you're saying they should be more sensitive?
No, I'm saying that you should understand that these women have been through a traumatic event, and you shouldn't be an asshole to them. Even some of the women in this movie were dicks.
Well, The Kung Fu was great, by the way. It was a very classic Kung Fu 70s karate, white jumpsuits, black belts.
Apparently, no woman in the 70s owned a bra.
The 70s is undoubtedly probably the worst fashion decade of the entire 20th century. I even prefer some of the... I definitely prefer fashion from the 50s
mm-hmm.
and the 60s.
70s were a weird time. Man.
70s is just a bizarre fashion sense. Architecture, interior design, just a lot of weird... A lot of acid being dropped and a lot of weird decisions. Floral arrangements, browns and greens and...
Just terrible, terrible time.
All right, so they know Kung Fu, and their first target is a guy, a club owner, who raped a woman, and she reported it, and...
They went to trial, and he got off because he got, like, a couple of his other buddies to testify that they paid her to have sex with all of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, they found out, shocker, that she had had an abortion the year before.
So that's their... excuse me. So that's their first target, is this scumbag. And so they send one of the women in with a no bra, looking very sleek.
She's basically wearing a crocheted dress.
It's something from the 70s. I don't even know how to describe 70s clothing. Besides bell bottoms, it's just all... I look at it, I don't even know how humans even wore this at some point. So she wears this, she chats this guy up, and he goes, hey baby, how about you come to my house and watch my skiing videos? And she goes, okay, but as long as that's all we're doing, watching skiing videos. And he goes, yeah, baby, that's what I want. And so he takes her to his apartment, and then they're obviously...
Shocker, he doesn't have the video.
Shocker, they're not going to sit around watching skiing videos. He starts smooching, and she goes, wait a minute, I'm here to watch skiing videos. And then he basically is so shocked that anyone would give a shit
about his stupid skiing videos.
About his skiing videos. That
he literally tells her, oh, but I thought I could just talk you out of it.
He's like, I really? You thought that was a pickup line? You're aware of that. You understand pickup lines. So,
you know how they work, right?
He starts kissing on her, and she starts running away, but then he picks her up and throws her on the couch, and she says the code word for the rest of the rape squad.
What was the code word again?
Stop or something. It was like,
oh, so something
please stop.
Completely generic.
It wasn't really that great of a code word. So all the women bust in. The karate teacher starts kung-fuing him into submission, and then they start wrecking his little apartment.
They bust up his records, his booze, his
posters.
Oh, they
pour out his booze. He has some cool posters. He had about a 60-can beer pyramid. He got high-kicked into that. Listen, I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it, but as a fan of beer pyramids and booze, I was offended.
But not by the rape. You weren't offended by the rape, though.
Well, I am offended by the rape, but I'm also offended. You can't just pour out good booze. At least just steal it. So
they tie him up to his bed. After they're done beating the shit out of him, they tie him up to his bed, and they tell him, well, mister, now it's your turn to get raped. But they don't really rape him. They just dye his genitals blue.
They dye his dick blue. So then if he does rape, any rape victim can be, I got raped with a guy with a blue dick, and he'll pull down his pants, and he'll have a blue dick.
Yeah, but doesn't that stuff only last like 6 months?
Well, I guess you can wait 6 months and then rape, but I...
Not exactly. My point is, not exactly a very good plan of marking somebody. If you really want to mark somebody, you gotta take a book out of Inglourious Basterds and carve something on their skin.
Yeah. I was honestly, when they had him tied to the bed and they said, now you're gonna get raped, I was expecting something awful. I was like, oh man.
I thought that the bottle that they pulled out was a bottle of Vaseline.
Something was gonna get lubed up and penetrated. I was for sure. But nope, he just gets his
dyed.
Which, you know, a case of blue balls, no pun intended, I guess is a...
this movie wasn't very subtle, I'll say that.
Yeah.
It must be our day for unsubtle movies.
I guess so. So, their next target is a...
Before you move on to that, I did want to say something, I did make a note. In this movie, they seem to be very much about emasculating every rapist that they come across. But to me, maybe I don't know how men's minds work, but I feel like most men, if they've been emasculated, especially by a woman, they're gonna want to go out and prove their manhood in some way. And if these men are already raping women, if you emasculate them, that's just gonna make them want to rape more.
Well, I mean, it's a good point. I mean, it's a reason why domestic violence laws are in the book. It's a reason why cops don't like dealing with it as a rule. Because it's so confusing and so complicated, and it deals with a lot of things that aren't as cut as dry as, let's say, you have a wallet, I want that wallet, give me the wallet. Thus a crime has been committed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, yeah, you're right. It's a very simplistic way of doing it. If they're not just going to straight up kill him, you're right, I don't see it really solving that many problems.
You're just going to piss them off even more. Which, I know that if we have any hardcore feminists listening to our podcast,
I hope so.
They're going to take they're going to take offense to me saying this. But you piss off a man, he's going to try to prove how much more of a man he really is. And it's just this never-ending cycle.
Well, you said it, not me. So their next target is a guy making creepy phone calls. And now this I found a little over the top, because yes, creepy phone
this
calls.
This you found over the top?
Well,
this is where you found it over the top?
Okay, I found a lot of the movie over the top, but as far as like the punishment fits the crime, I felt this was the most uneven of the two. Because yes, harassing phone calls do suck, but
they're kind of funny in a way. Because they're not really doing anything but wasting your time.
Yeah, they're just being creepy and making it...
It's mildly unsettling, but it doesn't cause you any physical harm.
They kind of met... Okay, so they tell the... They find out who the guy is, and they have him meet somewhere in a dark alley. And they basically, like, push him up against a wall, strip him, and start, like, poking at his fat. It's real... It's kind of creepy, actually.
It is! They basically are against men, sexualizing women, objectifying women, and yet they do the same thing to this poor old man.
Yeah, and he's kind of like an old... He's not really physically intimidating. They kind of treat this guy worse than the guy who actually raped someone.
Yep. All they did was tie that guy to a bed and dye his balls.
Yeah, this guy, they pulled guns out on him and, like, squeezed his man titties and pinched his nipples and, like, laughed at him and...
Poor old man.
Yeah, it was an odd target to go after. But that's their second target.
Didn't they threaten to send his tapes to his poor mother?
Yeah, one of the women is a newspaper writer, and she said she was going to write a national story about him making dirty phone calls.
I feel like in the 70s, no woman got a national story. No female journalist.
I think the 70s is when that started to happen. I think you're getting the 30s and the 70s confused. But,
yeah. It would just fit this story, though.
The punishment didn't really seem to fit the crime in this case.
Not at all.
I think you could have just scared this poor old man, and he probably would have just pulled a gun out
on him. He was already like, I'm sorry, I'll do whatever you want, please don't hurt me.
God, they gotta, like, give him a purple nurple. I think if at any point in your life, if you're giving senior citizens a purple nurple,
you should just stop and take a stock of your life.
Yeah, you gotta reevaluate where your life is taking you to reach such point. So, that's their second target. Their third, and keep in mind, I should say that while all this bullshit is happening where they're going after phone sex guys and
their original target is literally stalking them and recording his thoughts in his car.
And he's murdered another woman by the lake. I don't know if you saw that. You might have been distracted by your phone, but
probably
he choked out a woman who was painting at a lake.
Oh, so that's right. No, I did see that. Yeah.
He's murdering and off doing his own things. And
which, again, I understand that the premise of this movie is like, oh, we're women in this rape squad. The cops aren't helping us.
Sacrilegious.
But I'm just saying, if a dude straight up murders somebody, you would think the cops would be after him more than these chicks would be.
So, their third and final side target is a target of convenience. One of the women works as a... she cleans up at a hotel, and she sees a pimp doing what pimps do, pimp slapping.
Gotta keep that pimp hand strong, son.
Keeping his pimp hand strong, and they don't do anything really... They don't torture this guy as badly as they do the poor old man.
Yeah, they just kind of knock him around a little bit.
They just kind of karate kick him a little bit, and I guess he's going to stop beating his hose, I guess. No, he's not.
Nope, he's not. He's going to beat him harder.
So, that's their last target. So, finally, the Jingle Bell rapist has figured out that these women are working together.
And that, like, triggers some insane, oh my gosh, I gotta have all five of these chicks together at once.
He starts conniving of a plan to rape five women at the same time. He's like the Ocean's 11 of rapists.
that is a brilliant analogy.
He's gonna try to pull off the ultimate rape heist.
I kind of wish that he had done it now.
So, he almost did. So, he starts leading them on a merry rabbit chase around town, leaving clues to where
it's
he's
like
at.
It's like a really screwed up, what's that game?
Scavenger Hunt?
Thank you. went dumb for a minute.
And so he starts leading on a scavenger hunt and going all over town, and they're chasing him until finally the five members of the rape squad end up in an abandoned zoo at the dead of night.
Because they just leave those things open for anybody to come wandering in.
Well, there was a padlock on the door that he cut to go inside.
Again.
They decide to go in to chase him. Because calling the cops at this point would be...
That's way too easy.
That's way too easy. So one of the girls gets scared as they're...
Of course. One of the girls gets scared. One of the girls breaks her heel. And they end up getting freaking separated. That's basically how their plan works out.
So one goes back to the car but gets caught and hanged. The other just gets caught and tied up. And so you end up in a situation with one of the girls is dead and hanged from a pole.
Mm-hmm.
One of the girls is naked, tied inside a cage. And he's in the cage threatening to break the girl's neck if the other three girls don't tie themselves up in three separate cages. He's not going to get his five rape on because he's killed one, but he is going to rape four women.
Although now that we got to that part, at first I was like, oh man, five-way rape, that's going to be amazing to see him pull this off. Now I've...
Wait, you were rooting for him at this point?
Well, I was rooting for him because it seemed like I'd never seen a five-way rape before. I'm just saying.
Hey, you're not... Bang Bus episode 35. I don't even know what that is.
No, shut up. Anyway, but when it got to the point where it's like, oh, you're going to tie him up and then rape him one at a time, I was less than impressed. I feel like this guy should have brought his A game.
Well, it almost works. And so three of the women, two of them agree with this plan. They tie themselves up, leaving the last woman, Linda, the original Jingle Bell rape victim, out. And she's trying to figure out what to do, and he's mocking her. And then she clues in on his weakness, his self-esteem. So, excuse my
language. You could have figured that out from the very first time that he raped you, because he literally kept telling you to tell him thank you. And he kept telling her, see, wasn't that the best you ever had? Wasn't that you the best you ever had?
So, she defeats him by, and this is what she says, excuse my language, but she calls him a faggot. Enough that...
No, what she tells him is that a faggot could have done a better job.
Of raping.
Yes.
And so she calls him that, she yells at him enough that he takes off his mask and starts fighting her physically. But he doesn't know she knows kung fu now. She kicks...
Even though he's literally been following them around and watching them, he's still unaware of the fact that she knows kung fu.
Well, the rage of being called gay slurs and being implied that he's a bad lay was too much for him. He goes to fight her, they tussle, she beats him to death with a shovel, and that's the end of the movie.
Yep.
She goes to untie, as she's untying the rest of the women, the credits roll. And that's it. So overall, what'd you think? You give it a thibbit?
Yep.
I enjoyed it.
Maybe not quite a thibbit, maybe a half thibbit. I think that it was funny in the way that it tried to portray this subject matter. I mean, it went completely over top, which made it funny.
I think, though, one of the best scenes is there's a scene where they're all talking about how great this group is, how it empowers women while being naked in a hot tub. So, men, you can get your oogle on, which
because
is...
Because, again, no woman in this movie own a bra or a bathing suit.
It's delightfully ironic to watch them all bathe naked talking about women empowerment, and when all that scene is meant to do is for...
Fapping.
Men in drive-thrus to have something to drool over.
Hey man, if your date doesn't put out in this drive-thru, you can always watch five women naked in a hot tub.
So that's active rape. Active rape squad, vengeance squad was the name.
Active rape vengeance squad.
Active rape vengeance. So that's pretty much it. I think I liked it more than you because
probably
of the hot tub scene. Ho ho ho. But
Bow-chicka-wow-wow.
It was okay, but.
I fully expected them to be lesbians. That's how I
there was no... There should have been a lesbian scene.
There should have been.
Someone should have been raped a lesbian. That happens.
Although that was... No, shut... No. Although there was one point where they're in the bar trying to set this trap for the bar owner, where two women are discussing how they haven't been able to be with a man after they got raped. And I think that was that little implied lesbianness.
Nice. Well... That ends
this
movie.
That was the only
movie.
Subtlety in that movie.
We better... We're almost at a half. This is going to be the longest podcast to date. We do have an announcement at the end of this podcast, which is now. Mm-hmm. We are starting our...
Summer of Horror.
Summer of Horror. The next 12 movies we watch are going to be horror films. This is going to be horror films stretching from 1970 all the way to 2011, I believe, is when our newest film.
Mm-hmm.
None of them are going to be that popular. Again, this is going to be more on the very fringe cult side of horror. And I completely forgot the name of the first movie we're going to do.
I don't even know what we're doing.
Okay, so if you really want to know the name of the movie we're going to be watching,
we'll refresh our memories and put it up on our podcast page.
Yeah, I'll put it up in the write-up for this podcast. You can also email me at mindkiller@gmail.com if you want to talk about Rape Squad, Act of Vengeance, or if you want to talk about any of the movies we discussed.
Even if you just want to tell him that his wife is crazy.
Yeah, if you're a feminist and you're offended by what my wife said, and frankly, who could blame you, you can email her through me at mindkiller@gmail.com.
Because honestly, I probably won't reply to any of you.
Wow, too stuck up to reply to emails?
Well, not too stuck up to reply to emails, too stuck up to reply to these feminazis that are like, you should be ashamed of being a woman for having
these
ideals.
I would think if feminists listened to our podcast, they'd be more understanding than you would give them credit for.
Have you known any feminists?
Well, that wraps up our podcast. Hope you have a great week. Enjoy the summer of horror. That'll be hopefully starting off sometime next week.
Yep.
All right, signing off.